I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
May I have your attention, please? Now, taking the airwaves on 97.3 The Fan, San Diego's own, Gwen and Chris.
Featuring Tony Gwynn Jr.
He was irritated about the helmet. He was looking through. He was coming up with all kinds of, wow, did you see that lightning go off right there? That was a little scary.
And Chris Ello.
But when there's a pop-up that goes into short right center field, and all four people watch it fall in, and then they give the batter a triple, that annoys me.
I feel you on that.
Gwynn and Chris starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
Here's the kick now. The pitch, fastball, is hit in the air to left center field. Robles going for it. He's under and waiting. And he makes the catch! He makes the catch! Bang! Zoom down the fireworks! A National League Championship winning! Curly W is in the box!
And then there was one representative of the National League. They punched their ticket, and by they, I mean the Washington Nationals, punched their ticket to the World Series. And unfortunately for them, they'll be waiting for a little bit of time as the Yankees and Astros figure out who's going to represent the American League. But, Chris, what we saw in four games from the Nationals was pure domination from a pitching standpoint, and just, I thought, for one through eight, a team that put together just some really, really good at-bats. And best combo, I think, that's remaining in this tournament in Juan Soto and Anthony Rendon.
Love watching those two guys hit right now. Not any particular fan of the Nationals, but to watch Anthony Rendon come up and swing, I mean, that just brings you back. I mean, I think he's the best right-handed hitter in all of baseball right now. Maybe Gleyber Torres of the Yankees is in the running for something like that. But this Rendon is just almost impossible to get out. You know, Soto's only hitting hit .188 in this series, but it seemed like he got a hit every time they needed one. And, it's not always how much, it's when, especially in the postseason. The Cardinals set an all-time record for the lowest batting average ever in a seven-game series. They only batted .130. They only had 16 hits in the entire series. They only had two hits in the entire series by a left-handed hitter. Both of those were by Colton Wong in the game yesterday. And I think they struck out in four games, was it 307 times? No, it only seemed that many. But Patrick Corbin got 12 yesterday in five innings. I mean, come on, he only had 15 outs. 12 of them were by strikeouts. And Scraby even went as far as to say, maybe the Cardinals didn't even belong in this series. I'm not going that far. But it was just a dominating performance all the way around. And then you look at the runners in scoring position. Washington yesterday, 4 for 5. I mean, they didn't have that many chances to score. They just got a hit every time they had a chance.
It's going to be tough to beat a team if they go for every opportunity they have. They catch, especially in the playoffs, because you anticipate leaving some out there in the playoffs just because of the
it's high, harder to it's, get hits. It's, guys it bear is. Down.
It's hard. It's harder to string together multiple hits, but that didn't seem to be a problem. As a matter of fact, that's when Washington was at their best. Honestly, that's when they've been at their best this whole entire playoff run, is when Ducks are on the pond, somebody's coming up with a hit, and it's not always Rendon, it's not always Soto. We've seen guys like Zimmerman come through for him. They've had guys, Howie Kendrick has come through for him, who, by the way, was the NLCS MVP of the entire series.
Which was kind of strange, and it was deserving but strange in the sense that the Nationals will always be remembered for winning the series by dominant pitching. The problem was is you couldn't really pick one of the four starters, right, and leave the other three out. So you had to go with somebody different. I might have considered giving it to Anibal Sanchez just because he set the tone with 7 2/3 no-hit innings, but Kendrick is just continuing his remarkable postseason. I mean, there's no MVP in the division series, which, you know, why not? why? Just because they didn't have one, they decided that they can't get it sponsored? What's the problem? But Kendrick would have been the MVP of that series, too, if they had such a thing.
Pitchers always have an uphill battle in awards in the playoffs if they only pitch one game. Now, generally, series goes 6 or 7. That guy gets to pitch twice.
And you win two games, and then they give it to you for sure.
It's tough to beat a pitcher at that point. But considering this series wrapped up in 4 games, and Howie Kendrick was in the middle of all 4 of them finding a way to get hits.
Yeah.
It's going to be tough to beat him.
No, I agree with you. I looked it up. The Cardinals struck out 46 times in the series and only had 16 hits. That is not a championship-winning ratio.
I wonder how many at-bats they had.
Can you believe that? Well, I could add it up here real quick. But I'll tell you, the other story in this series, as great as Sanchez and Scherzer and Strasburg and then even last night Corbin was, how many runs did the Washington bullpen give up in the series?
None.
Zero.
None. Rainy.
Not a single run was given up. Now, of course, they only gave up 6 runs in the whole series. But not a single run. I take that back. 1 run was given up by the bullpen in Game 3 after Strasburg left. They gave up a run trailing. It was 8-0, and they gave up a run in the 7th and 8th inning. No, I beg your pardon. It was an unearned run off Strasburg, so the bullpen did not give up a run. Yeah. So, I mean, that was what nobody expected.
Nobody.
I mean, everybody expected their starting pitching to be good, but nobody expected them to dominate like that out of the bullpen. But and every time I watch Sean Doolittle pitch, I think of you, Tony, and you telling me very early in the season, watch this guy. He only throws one pitch.
Isn't that
unbelievable?
Crazy.
And that's all he does. He does not throw any pitch. It was hilarious. They kept going to the you know, what's that thing they do now with the replay? The pitch sequence.
Yeah.
So a guy's up for like 8 pitches, and they go, let's take a look at the pitch sequence there.
It's fastball.
First pitch, fastball. Second pitch from Doolittle, that was a fastball. Then the third pitch came in with a fastball. Then he came in, fourth pitch, fastball. Fifth, another fastball. He doesn't even, does he even have another pitch? Does the catcher even have to put a finger down there?
When I started noticing that, I didn't really believe it. So I started asking guys who've actually faced Doolittle, and it's like, yeah, man, he'll run one in and he'll force seam.
Right,
one.
He might move away a little, but it's the same
it's
thing.
All fastballs. It's the craziest thing I've ever seen. And he's the one guy in that bullpen all year long that was effective. He was the one that kind of got that wasn't having a bad year out of the bullpen.
Until the very end. He had 28, 29 saves, and then he got hurt.
Yeah.
And that's when they put Hudson in as the closer. And then when Doolittle came back, they just kind of went with both of them down the stretch. And, you know, they did a great job last night because Corbin left that game with a 7-4 lead. The Cardinals had the momentum. They had that 3-run rally in the 5th inning. Looked like maybe they're going to get back in it. And over the last 4 innings against the National bullpen, the Cardinals got 1 base runner.
Yeah.
That's all they got. They never even got the tying run to the plate. So give the credit to the bullpen. They just were not supposed to get the job done that they got done. And now the question is, will they be able to keep this mojo going for a whole week at least before they get to play Game 1 of the World Series? And I know they said all the right things after the game yesterday, but we've seen this happen. It's not easy to do.
I wonder, though, here's what I start to think is this is I know that we've already talked about how the cancellations of this game today, but there's possibility of rain later on.
Oh, yeah.
And so I wonder what kind of rhythm these two teams are going to have with stoppages.
The Yankees
back
and Astros?
Yeah, at the end of the day. It won't be as much of a stoppage, clearly, as what the Nationals are about to go through. But nevertheless, it's going to make for some good theater into that final series.
One thing we also know about the Astros and the Yankees, if they're going to win the World Series, they're going to have to beat some pretty good pitchers.
They are.
Because they're going to get, no matter how long they have to wait, Scherzer and Strasburg are
rested.
Going to be pitching.
Yes.
As is Sanchez, as is
Corbin, yeah.
As is this guy Rainey. There's always a guy that comes out of nowhere in the postseason that, you who ever heard of Rainey? Nobody knew who he was. Doolittle, we know, is good. Hudson's
Rodney's
good.
Rodney's pitched well in that.
Even Fernando. Old Fernando Rodney making that dumb trade the Padres made for Fernando Tatis Jr. not look so good. I'm just kidding. Joking. That wasn't that one. It was Chris Paddock.
Chris Paddock.
For Rodney.
Yeah.
What were the Padres thinking there?
Hey.
Gave up a World Series pitcher just to get Chris Paddock. God. Dog.
Silly
dog.
Us. All right, let's go pay some bills.
When silly us.
When we come back, you know, as we
Is that what he said, silly us?
Silly us.
Oh, yeah, good. I thought you said something different.
No.
Good.
What silly us?
Never mind. Just tell me what you said.
All right, we're going to pay some bills. When we come back, one of my favorite sports. I almost said my favorite sport, but one of my favorite sports is about to kick off next week. And my Lakers are looking mighty, mighty good. We're going to have on Chris McGee, Spectrum Sports Net LA, when we come back. But first, let's take a look at traffic with Sue D.
Anybody out there know what next Tuesday is? October 22nd? If you said my anniversary, you are correct. He's buzzed everything I've said so far today.
About your anniversary.
Stop the anniversary buzzing. My wife could be listening, and I'll have to do explaining later. Yes, next Tuesday also, though, much more to more of people's interest, is the opening day of the NBA season. And to that end, we are joined by Chris McGee of Spectrum Sportsnet Los Angeles. Chris, awesome having you on. Awesome having you on at this time of season, getting ready for what should be a thrilling year of Laker basketball, although I guess I can caution that we kind of said the same thing at the beginning of last year, and it didn't all turn out quite that way.
Yeah, I think we did. We said it on this very show, didn't we?
I think so.
We're all excited.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, though, last year was exciting. You know, LeBron coming over, but at the end of the day, still knew there were so many holes with that roster and all the young guys. And obviously, if LeBron didn't get hurt, who knows where they would have finished. But this year's definitely different. We have a top five player joining LeBron in his absolute prime. So, you know, AD just brings a different level. And it's definitely, a top four or bust for this team.
Geeter, you guys now have two top five players on your roster. And I've been watching you guys on the show quite a bit, and it seems like the biggest question is who's going to play center, right? I mean,
yep.
JaVale McGee, Dwight Howard have both had terrific preseasons. How do you see that battle shaping up? Because they both look really good.
So the best center on the team doesn't really want to play center, and that's Anthony Davis.
He
doesn't want to bang with all those guys all year long, and I think we'll see him more at the five, the last five, 6 minutes of the game and in certain spots. But I think JaVale starts. I think JaVale's awesome alongside those two. I think JaVale, when he was with the Warriors, showed that he knows how to play that role alongside superstars. He was great for the Warriors when they won two championships. He proved his worth last year when he came over and was getting 29 minutes a game. I think he and Dwight will work great off each other. I don't think you lose much when you take one guy out. I think they both defend. I mean, I'm really impressed with how Dwight's been playing, and I was very
skeptical.
Let's just say skeptical for sure when he came over, and I'm not waving the victory flag, but he has shown that he's working hard and that he can play a role. And if he plays that role like he did the other night, he's going to be great. So I think they both play about 20 minutes a game. I think JaVale starts. I'm not going to put that writing and say it's a done deal for the rest of the year, but I think to start on next Tuesday, I think JaVale starts. And I think Dwight plays about 20-21 minutes, and I think they're both going to play a great role. So I'm actually excited about that combination.
Yeah. What a start to the season, too. Lakers open against just that other team, the Clippers.
We don't need to mention them.
My goodness, though. Guys. What a great match. I mean, who's not going to want to watch Kawhi Leonard and the Clippers go up against the Lakers? Fantastic. Chris McGee is with us from Spectrum Sportsnet LA. I want to talk about just one other player on this Laker roster that isn't getting a lot of play in terms of conversation. I mean, obviously, you're not going to mention this guy when you got LeBron and Anthony Davis, and you talked about the center situation, Rajon Rondo, but picking up Danny Green, to me, was a stroke of genius and just something that probably is getting overlooked by most people who are getting ready for this Lakers season. This guy, I don't know when he gets his championship ring, but they'll be handing him out to all of his old Toronto teammates on opening night. I mean, he's a champion player. I mean, adding this guy to the mix is, it makes them even better than I think people think they're going to be.
Yeah, he'll be getting that championship ring when the Lakers travel there. And I agree with you. It's funny you bring that up because I think when we were all talking in May and June and still doing our shows and talking about who you want as a free agent, and this is kind of before the whole Kawhi thing came where everyone got excited about possibly Kawhi joining the Lakers, Danny Green was number one.
Yeah.
I mean, Danny Green was a guy that was realistic. He was a guy that you knew you had to have if you wanted to be a team that could contend because of the way he shoots three, because of his you know, his ability to be a great glue guy, to defend on both ends. He's awesome. So for me, like, that's for sure. I mean, listen, this guy's career 40.5% from three. He was, what, 46% last year. He's won two titles. He's going to take so much pressure off LeBron defensively. So I'm with you. You know, Danny Green for me was that guy that they had to get. And I think he was in the works the whole time. I think he was just waiting to see what Kawhi was going to do. I think LeBron and AD and everybody knew Danny Green was the guy. Unless Kawhi chose to come to L.A., then I think Danny would have just stayed. But Danny Green knew what was at stake. He knew that Toronto couldn't pay him, and he was just waiting to see where Kawhi was going to land. So huge get for the Lakers. Listen, he hasn't been lighting it up in preseason, but does it even matter? I mean, the guy played till late June. He hasn't even started to try yet, right? He's going to be awesome. I remember being in practice a couple weeks ago and early training camp and watching him defend LeBron full court and picked him and went for a layup, and I'm just like, you know what, you just don't – those are things that people just don't see a lot, but he's going to do it in a playoff game, and Laker fans are going to love him.
Chris McGee, Spectrum Sportsnet LA, joins us here on Gwen and Chris. Geeter, one of the guys on the roster that's become an internet sensation, and if you're a Laker fan, you know a little bit about him, that's Alex Caruso.
Mm-hmm.
How realistic is he that he could get some big minutes coming off the bench for the Lakers this year?
You know, I love Caruso. I'm big on him. I think he's a great role player. I think he's good alongside superstars because he doesn't need the ball. I think he can spot up and shoot the three.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's way more physical than the other point guards we have, so I think he's a better defender. I think there's a chance. Like I don't think he starts the year in that role,
right,
but I think he'll come off the bench. But there's a chance that Alex Caruso could be a huge part of what the Lakers are doing.
I agree, yeah.
I really do. And I also feel another name you guys will hear more about once the season gets going and once it gets rolling in big games, Quinn Cook. Love Quinn Cook, unbelievable locker room guy, 40% career from three, won a title with the Warriors, went to a finals with the Warriors the following year and lost, but played a major role when Steph went down. So he's a guy that's not afraid of big moments. We haven't even seen him yet. We might see him a little bit tonight. But he's another guy that you just don't know how many minutes he's getting right now, but there's going to be a time. There's going to be a time, like Bishaw back in the day, you know, Fisher, those kind of guys.
Is Cook banged up right now?
You know, he has been, but I hear he's cleared to play tonight.
Okay. All right.
Chris McGee, Spectrum Sportsnet LA. Obviously, the last several years and going into last season, we all knew that the Lakers were what they were, but they were still going to have to get past the Warriors if they ever wanted to get to where they want to go. This year, it's a little different deal because it's more wide open in the West. Who do you think is the team that they have to worry the most about? Or do the Lakers just play it the old, we just have to worry about ourselves more than anybody else? Because, I mean, there's so many possible contenders in the West this year, it's kind of hard to focus on one.
It really is, and I think you made a great point. I think the easy answer is to say, well, it's really about themselves and staying healthy. But if you want to break down that question more, there's probably nine teams that have a legit shot to go to the second round of the playoffs, and I've never said that before. I mean, there's even teams like Dallas that I'm not even thinking about that have two All-Stars on their team, and Porzingis and Doncic. Eventually, they're going to be All-Stars. So for me, it's tough to call right now. I mean, just out of the gate, I think people still overlook Denver. I think they're always going to be a problem.
Yeah.
I think Portland, with those two guards, always going to be in the conversation. Clippers, once Paul George gets healthy and they get rolling, that team's going to be a problem, unfortunately. I think Houston, I think people are sleeping on Houston because of the Westbrook-Harden combo, but their bench is better than people think. Harden is a joke this year. He's in unbelievable shape. Caron Butler's come back from China and said he's never seen him look this good this early on. With those two guys playing as hard as they can every single night, they're going to be in the conversation, right? Like, they're a top four team regular season. I don't know what's going to happen in the playoffs, but no one's even talking about Houston. So I think we haven't even mentioned guys like the Spurs yet, or, you know, Warriors. You know, when Clay comes back, they're going to be good too. So
yeah, the Warriors still are playing in the league, right?
So yeah, you know. I mean, are we sleeping on them?
Probably a little bit.
I think everybody is.
Probably quite a bit. Yeah.
I mean, you think about, like, listen, they lost KD. Clay's out till after All-Star break. Losing Livingston is huge. Losing Iggy is huge. But you still have Steph and Draymond. That alone gets you in the playoffs, right?
It's got to at least get your attention. There's
at least
question.
Get your attention.
Yeah. I mean, every game on this.
Who do you guys think's the biggest? Like, if you, I mean, I guess
I've
Clippers,
been saying
probably.
Portland just because they stayed together. And,
yeah.
I've always liked the dynamic when a team stays together.
Yeah. Added Whiteside, too.
And then
two healthy bigs
picked up a guy like that. So I think Portland, and they were close last year, but I couldn't say anybody's better than the Lakers, really. I mean, it's a coin flip.
It's Clippers-Lakers for me.
So
Clippers-Lakers for you, huh?
Yeah, Richard Jefferson had a funny thing this summer. We were talking, and he said, here's the thing, because people kept asking him, what about the West? What are the Lakers rank? And are they going to be a top four team? And he goes, I don't know, like, where everyone's going to land when it comes to the standings. Yeah. But I do know every single night, out of the three best players on the court, they have two of them. When you look at it like that, it's hard to bet against LeBron and AD. I'm not saying they're winning a championship. I'm not even saying they're going to the finals. But they will have the best two of three players, no matter who they play.
That's
for the first time in a long time.
Maybe three of the top four if they're playing like the Bulls.
They
might have more than just two
more
of the top
than that,
three.
More than that.
More than
but, I mean,
that.
But, I mean, think about it. A lot of teams have a star, right? I mean, like, you're always going to have Steph. You're always going to have, you know, Brooklyn's going to have Kyrie. You know, everyone's going to have their stars. Kawhi, but the Lakers will always have AD and LeBron.
Hopefully everybody stays healthy,
and it's
the kind of season that we want. I know we're not going to go that way this year. Best of luck, Chris. Thanks so much for the time.
Thank you, Geeter.
Look forward to talking to you once we get rolling.
Yeah, let's chat next week when it gets going.
You got it, man.
Let's do it.
Thank you.
All right, guys. Okay, bye.
Chris McGee, great stuff. Spectrum Sportsnet, L.A. Lakers, by the way, Tony, play 10 of their first 14 games at Staples Center.
That's a good
thing. So they have a chance to get off to a good start. One of those road games is in Chicago, and another one of those road games is in Phoenix, which is two of the weakest teams in the league. So they really do, because of the schedule, like I said, they have a chance to get off to a good start. We'll see if it happens that way. They open against the Clippers on Tuesday night. I can't believe it's already here. Another NBA season. Time for our biggest fan, and today's winner is Heather Fredericks. Heather, you have 10 minutes to call us back at 833-288-0973. Heather Fredericks, you win a four-pack of tickets to the Halloween Bash at Viejas Casino and Resort, and you will be entered if you call. In our grand prize, Vegas Getaway includes tickets to all kinds of different shows, including Absinthe at Caesar's Palace. Make sure all of you sign up at 973thefansd.com/biggestfan to enter for your chance to win this amazing prize that we give away every single day. Heather Fredericks, you are today's biggest fan. 10 minutes starts right now, Heather. 833-288-0973. Scraby is cooking up a big five, so we'll get ready for that next. Gwen and Chris, 97.3 The Fan.
438, Tony Gwynn Jr., Chris Zeller, Matt Scraby on the board. We just rolling along here, Gwen and Chris, today, having a good old time. Just,
you know what I want to do?
What you want to do?
Not right now, because we got to get the big five in, but a little later. Because we just talked with Chris McGee and got me going on this NBA thing, so I'm looking at all the Western Conference teams, and I want you and I to both pick our eight Western Conference playoff teams
in order.
No, not in order. But just get the eight teams out of the 15 that are actually going to make the postseason, and then Scraby will keep tabs on it, and we'll see how we do.
Sounds good to me.
Want to try that later today?
I think we should.
All right, a little later today we'll try that.
All right, without further ado, let's get to the Big Five, Scraby.
Come on!
It's now time for the most unpredictable, most wacky, most opinionated segment of the show.
I wouldn't brag about it.
Gwen and Chris talk about the best of the rest.
Great balls, you fire!
Ooh, with a twist.
Personally, I think we got hosed on that call.
The Big Five begins right now.
Don't panic. There's absolutely nothing to worry about.
On 97.3 The Fan.
All right, bear with me today because I am going to be running the board as well as doing
the
big
Don't be giving any excuses. Competitors don't make excuses.
They just make plays.
That's right.
That's from Rocky
Long. Get it done.
First, we have to do this.
Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. GEGE000466.
Big Five is brought to you by 7 Mile Casino. If you love to play cards, head to 7 Mile Casino, just 7 minutes from downtown, and open 24-7 if you like blackjack. 7 Mile Casino is the go-to move right off the 5 in Chula Vista. 7 Mile Casino. All right, let's go.
Number 5.
Now, this story is a little crazy. Do you guys remember that last year, Alex Smith, the Washington Redskins quarterback, broke his leg horribly in a game in November? Well,
the Helix High School kid.
The Helix High School kid. You're absolutely right. Well, he's still seeking a return to the NFL, but the details of his gruesome broken leg injury from last year keep getting worse. He revealed while speaking at an event for medical professionals in Virginia that he had 17 surgeries on his broken leg since last November. That's according to the Washington Times. Smith had the surgeries to remove tissue resulting from an infection in his fibula and tibia following the initial surgery to repair the compound fracture, but he still wants to play. He's 35 years old. He still is under contract by the Redskins. Chris, if you suffered through this injury, would you be done with football?
No. Not in this day and age. Not the way they can put people back together, and not if I really wanted to play.
Okay.
I think you should do what you love for as long as you possibly can do it. For some guys, there's a different time frame. I mean, for example, Brock Osweiler retired today.
What?
I don't know if you heard that.
No,
yeah.
I did not.
Yeah, 28-year-old former Denver Bronco. Last year was a backup to the Miami Dolphins.
Former Brown,
quarterback.
Former Texan, former...
Well, he got an $8 million contract with the Texans, and that didn't work out. But he retired today at the age of 28. That was enough for him.
Wow.
But if Alex Smith wants to keep playing football, I think that they have the technology to rebuild him. And even though it may take whatever it's going to take, I mean, I think this is a guy that just really appreciates the fact that he's got the God-given talent to be able to play this game, and he wants to keep playing it as long as he can. Tony and I have talked about this many times. I'm not sure what Tony's answer is going to be here, but it's the rest of the regular world is, you know, going to wait for you. So, to me, play as long as you can if you want to play, and he seems to want to play.
Tony, what do you think? Would you be done if you suffered this horrific injury that Alex Smith did?
Not if I still had love for the game to the point where I felt like I wanted to be out there and compete again. It's tough to turn that off. Right?
It is, but it's also tough to feel your leg snap again.
Right, wrong, or indifferent is his leg, ultimately.
Yes.
And if he's cool with the possibility of that happening again, then I'm all for it. Listen.
But who isn't in a football game one play away from the end of their
Everybody
career?
Everybody is.
Right?
Everybody. He before he broke his leg. He could break his leg at any given point in time.
That's right.
It just so happens it's happened to him, and he's had to have the 17 surgeries thereafter. But if the man's love is still there, and more importantly, he can physically do it, I'm all for it, man. I'm not going to be the jury on this and tell him he can't.
Well, it was you. Would you? But you already said yes.
Yes, I would too. Yes, 100%.
Number 4.
It took nearly a month, but the Jaguars finally gave in to Jalen Ramsey's trade demands, and yesterday they made a decision to ship him off to L.A. to the Rams in exchange for a package of 3 draft picks that included 2 first-rounders from the Rams. According to Tom Coughlin, the Jaguars' vice president, I believe, of football operations, the reason the team finally caved is because the deal was just way too good for them to pass up. So thanks to the trade, the Jags will get the Rams' first-round picks in both 2020 and 2021. And listen to this. The Rams will be paying Jared Goff, Aaron Donald, Todd Gurley, and Jalen Ramsey around $92 million combined next season. They also gave up their first-round picks until 2022. So, Tony, we talked a little bit about it yesterday, but let's go dive deeper into it. Did the Rams make a bad deal to acquire Jalen Ramsey?
I don't think so, only because they're in a win now window. They have those four guys you signed, you mentioned, signed up, and they got to do it in that window. If they don't, because listen, the salary cap is meant partly to keep it competitive across the board. And so when you get teams like this, what'll happen is they'll go big. And so they have a 3-4 year window. That window started last year, right? And you could argue it started the year before that when they got bounced in the playoffs earlier than we all thought.
Yes.
But that
the Falcons beat them.
Yes. So now they have this 2 year, maybe 3 year window to get something done. And after that, it all falls apart. Remember, in football, you can always get rid of that money. You can always, you know, move past that along. It might take a little bit of a cap hit, but there's ways around it, and these football teams know how to do it.
Chris, what do you think? Do you think the Jaguars or the Rams made a bad deal to get Jalen Ramsey?
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
No, I don't. I've never been a fan of... I always feel like one in the hand is better than two in the bush.
Yeah.
Does that make any sense to you? Scraby, it's an old saying.
You know how Chris is with the picks. You know, it's like
it's an old saying, but I... You know what? I don't know what the number one picks are going to be for Jacksonville in the next 2 years. And if the Rams are pretty good, they're going to be late first-round picks. Jalen Ramsey, as far as I've been told, I don't look at film, but he's the best defensive back in the entire NFL. So to add him to a team that's already got the best defensive lineman in the NFL and has an offense that, for whatever reason, is not working so well right now but could certainly get it cranked back up, I think Tony's right. I mean, the NFL is a series of windows and opportunities.
Yeah.
And right now the Rams are in one of those windows, and I think that they should shoot for it, and I commend them for trying. We'll see if it works.
I hope it does.
If you're a Rams fan, you got to feel pretty good, right? Because your team is just going out and doing whatever it can to win right now.
Yeah.
They're not waiting. They're not talking about the future. They're doing it right now.
That's very true.
I like it.
Mikey, he likes it.
Everything.
From Life Cereal.
Number three.
The NFL is still in discussions for a new collective bargaining agreement, and an expanded regular season is still on the table. NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell revealed today at the conclusion of the fall owners' meetings that a 17-game regular season is part of the CBA talks, in which the league would still plan to start the weekend after Labor Day and play deeper into February. Here is Commissioner Roger Goodell talking earlier today.
We've had very fruitful discussions on it, discussing the positive and negatives, the changes to the game as it relates to the safety of the game and how we're preparing and practicing and training our players. And I think those changes have made a significant impact. And so that is something that we'll continue to discuss, and it may or may not be part of whatever we ultimately decide.
All right, so we've been talking about this.
Can you just not ever play Roger Goodell cut
Why?
Again? That was so much malarkey. I can't even believe it. He didn't honestly say
anything
in that entire clip. He always does that.
That's where his talent lies. It's absolutely
he's
saying
getting
a lot,
paid hundreds of millions of dollars to say nothing.
Word.
So now you're going to ask us to comment on what he just said, right?
Well, I'm going to ask you. No, not really. No. The question for today, Chris, is as a fan, do you want more regular season games?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You
yeah.
do?
Of course fan,
I do.
Sure.
I'm a fan. You said I'm a fan, right? I'm not a player.
No, as the guy you're that's
yes,
sitting in that seat.
Yes, I want those guys out there. I want them. Yeah.
Really?
No.
What's one
no,
more game?
I love
what's
a preseason game. I cannot stand the preseason. I think it's the biggest ripoff in all of sports. And, you know, in college football, they don't seem to need a preseason. The NFL, the only reason they have a preseason is so the owners can pocket free money and not even pay the players. I mean, it's one of the great ripoffs in all of sports.
It
so
is.
I would love to see an 18-game regular season, even a 20-game regular season. Now, If you're going to ask me to think
games
of,
is a lot.
If you're going to ask me to, well, look, right now you play 16, and if you're a wild card and you go to the Super Bowl, you play how many games?
You play 20.
Thank you. So it's not
but
that
20
many.
Regular,
is it?
So you're ending up with 24.
Maybe. My point is, I don't care. You asked me if I'm a fan.
Yes, I
right?
did.
All right? As a fan, I want games every week. And being as my fantasy team is currently 0-6, I need about a 46-week schedule this year in order to have a chance to get back in the running.
Very
so
true.
I want a lot more games.
All right, Tony, as a fan, do you want more regular season games?
As a fan, yeah. Give me some more
regular
season.
This is shocking to me.
I don't want it for the players, though. I mean, as for me, as selfishly, as a viewer, yeah, I love football. I'd take more games in a heartbeat, but I also care about these dudes after they finish playing. And if they're smart, if they're going to allow for them to add an extra game, do your best to get rid of the Thursday night football game.
Either that or put a second bye week in and always give the team who plays
exactly.
Thursday night a bye. And that's what is in a – I'm stealing that from A.J. Cassaville when he was here last week. But
yeah.
That was really, really good.
I mean, that's
makes perfect sense.
That's something that I feel like we've discussed on this show
yeah.
before. But nevertheless, you better get something if you're going to let them add another game, another – car accident or two to your body throughout the season. I just think ultimately, as a fan, though, we're never going to turn down games. I really don't.
Keep playing, man. We love that. We tune them in. We tune
reason
them in
why
every
NFL
Thursday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. We
yeah.
don't care.
It's the reason why it's the most popular sport.
Can we make a Tuesday night football now, too?
If they could, they would.
You know they would.
You know they would.
Hey, I know you just
believe
played on
me.
Sunday. Let's go to Tuesday night football.
But I think that is... If they are going to add that game, they got to figure out a way to get that bye week leading into the Thursday games.
Okay.
Or getting it
all
to
right.
them after, one of the
yeah,
two.
Yeah, I agree. Good job, guys.
Number two.
Not sure why I needed to compliment you on that, but Tennessee Titans quarterback Marcus Mariota, he was not pleased when he was told that Ryan Tannehill would be the starting quarterback against the Chargers. He accepted responsibility for the result, but
he
made
was
it...
not pleased?
No, we're going to hear from
really?
Him in just
he
a second.
Really? He didn't jump
he
up and
like,
down
yeah!
and go... This is
yeah,
awesome.
I'm starting this week.
I get to hold the clipboard now.
He accepted responsibility for the result, but made it clear the current setback doesn't mean his career is over. Here he is. I got to reach the computer. Hold on. Here he is talking about being benched.
Disappointment. And you know, it is going to be different. I haven't really been in this role for a long time, really at all in my career. So, you know, I'm going to do everything I can to help Ryan and help this team up.
That was him earlier today. Well, that's not the question. The Titans, or I'm not going to ask you about that, but the Titans are loving the quarterback controversy, and they tweeted something that made Titans tight end Delanie Walker respond on Twitter. The Titans tweeted out, #Titans to decide between quarterbacks Marcus Mariota and Ryan Tannehill. Decision in the next 24 hours with a link to the story on the website. They also put a picture of Mariota and Tannehill looking towards you like, oh, I'm going to be the guy. And Delanie Walker wrote back, LMAO, why would you post that with the emoji? And then he said, and you wonder why the fans act the way they do. So, Tony, you're up first. Do you think teams should steer away from this kind of nature on social media?
At what point in any NFL organization, is a quarterback controversy a good thing?
Yeah, that's a great point. It's not.
That usually
means
you're losing. Your
yeah.
team is either
struggling.
On the way down or already struggling. This is a gaffe. I mean, you let like the other like ESPN that aren't affiliated with the actual team promote the quarterback controversy.
Yes.
You don't really need to. The fact that they're actually doing it on their own Twitter makes me think that it was somewhat of a novice who decided to...
Like an intern.
Yeah, exactly.
That, somebody at a scraby level
wait,
working
wait,
for
wait,
the
wait, wait,
franchise posted that.
Wait. I would have done that.
That's just silly.
Should I get a picture of you two?
Facing off?
Yeah. Rivalry?
Yeah. Chris, what do you think? Do you think
well,
this is
I agree
too
with
far?
Tony, so I don't really need to... you know, piggyback on what he just said, I totally agree with him. But what I did want to say was that I noticed a certain calmness in the voice of Marcus Mariota there about
yeah,
being
the
backup.
He feels like he's getting it back.
Well, he's seen Ryan Tannehill play before. He's pretty sure he'll be back playing before too long.
I don't know if I've ever heard a quarterback say, Yeah, I mean, it's not the biggest. Yeah. Not the end of the world. I'll get back in there at some point.
I've never been this before, but, I'll help him as much as I can. He knows Ryan Tannehill can't keep this job for very long.
He's been watching him in practice and everything.
Yeah, so he knows he'll be back soon.
Great point, and I'm disappointed you didn't wear your Tannehill jersey to work today.
Yeah, it's in the mothballs.
Number one.
It's in the mothballs.
Astros outfielder Josh Reddick told reporters fans at Yankee Stadium threw objects on the field during the game's game three of the ALCS last night. Reddick described fans throwing water bottles, baseballs, and other objects onto the field. He said, quote, "I think I saw probably 7 or 8 water bottles out in the outfield. 2 baseballs got thrown from center to left," and he said he was frustrated about it. He said it was scary. So, Chris, do you think Major League Baseball players are not safe on the field?
I remember Bill North, and you don't even know who this is.
I do not.
He was a center fielder for the 72-3-4 World Champion A's. And he once described a situation where he was racing for a fly ball in his own stadium in Oakland, and a knife whizzed by his face.
A knife?
A knife.
Okay. Where is he in Oakland?
In Oakland, and he was on the A's.
A knife?
A knife.
My goodness.
My point is, I would be always a little bit concerned if I was an outfielder, but I'm not going to overdo it and say that I'm in danger out there. The odds of somebody hitting you with something are remote. I certainly wish that people would stop throwing stuff out there. That's kind of a no-brainer. But outfielders have been under attack for years and years and years. This is not the first time something like this has happened, is I guess my point.
Tony has played in Major League Baseball outfield. Did you ever have a knife fly by your face?
No. And I think Josh is being a little dramatic here. I think part of what's playing into this is the back and forth that's kind of going on between both teams. New York fans can get unruly sometimes, and I'm not saying that he's lying. I believe there probably was something thrown out on the field. Is he truly in danger? Like,
probably not.
I don't think so.
Good stuff, guys. Thomas is not here today, so I don't. Oh, wait, there it is.
Another edition of the Big Five.
Make the play, player.
See, that just right there is a.
Oh no! Now everything's going off the rails. Oh, no.
Oh, my Lord.
Oh, no.
All right, we're going to get to break.
Keyword, please.
Oh, keyword before we get to break. This hour's Grand Slam giveaway keyword is pancake.
Pancake.
Text PANCAKE 272881 for your chance to win your share of $160,000 in the Fans National Cash Contest. Message and data rates apply. Good luck from us here at 97.3. The Fans.
What was that again?
What was what?
The word.
Oh, sorry. Pancake.
Pancakes.
Pancake.
That was really stupid.
Step away, take a break. We're going to talk a little bit about the Padres' managerial position. Got some tweets from John Heyman. We're going to talk about that.
Oh, I'm sure he knows what's happening.
Quinn and Chris, 97.3, The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.